To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As always, I am your host, Justin Williams. Today's guest is Segovax. Segovax has been on the show before, plus he has hosted several episodes with me as well. So we're just going to jump right into the conversation. Hope you all enjoy the show.
That unless we can all kind of come together and actually agree upon the philosophical underpinnings that will allow us to form a moral constituency, all the things that are acceptable to our society, we can't really form a society. We can't form those kinds of organic bonds that give rise to something, you know, real, beyond just the legally imposed social contract society. And I feel like that's what we all want, though, you know, trying to get there by many different roads.
That's deep, brother. That's deep. That's why, exactly why I want to have you back on the show. Because you always bring some not only great energy, but some great insight, man. Your intellect is definitely off the charts. So just wanted to, you know, talk about this wokeism some more, right? And talk about what it's doing to society, who's possibly benefiting from it, who's not benefiting from it, and what does it look like in the different, pockets of society, if you will, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Like, where are we headed with this?
That's a really weird, good kind of question. Because, I mean, I remember about almost 10 years ago at this point, kind of just like vaguely foreseeing and dreading where we are now. Like, because, I mean, you remember back before Donald Trump ran, there was like this stuff, you would see hints of it every once in a while, but it was still verboten to talk about. And, you know, it was kind of new also, like it was just trans allowed in the military all of a sudden kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, back then it was, oh, it's not a big deal. And I was just like, it's gonna be. And now that it's like basically theocracy, like, you know, it's, you gotta pretend to see the gender identity or else you're some form of great, you're super morally deficient somehow. It's, you know, I was thinking back then, even if we stop it now, even if we like put the brakes on this now, it's still going to persist as some kind of weird cult, I bet. Like, there's always going to be a sect of gender worshippers, yeah, or something.
Right, right.
That's what I worry about, at least.
So you said that's what you were kind of feeling or thinking back then, right? Like, if we stop it now, maybe like 10 years ago, right? But it was still, like you said, going to be this subset or this group of people that are just hardcore with it. But I mean, it's totally not that, right? It's like so much bigger, right? Because it's been pushed and pushed and pushed.
And it's not even to say that like you know, maybe this is very libertarian of me, but it's not even to say that, like, I would deny some weird little sect, you know, their peculiar beliefs, superstitions about this kind of stuff. And I mean, people are, it does seem to be like sort of separate from the weird doctrines, you know, like almost pseudo theological, like gender doctrines. Separate from that, there are people that seem to be born with some kind of delusion like this inherent, like a really, I don't even know what the percentages are. I couldn't give you numbers, but you know, two totally different phenomena. One, like something really wrong chemically in the brain versus impressionable kids falling for ideology.
Right.
But yeah, man, it's almost just like amazing how bad it's gotten and how fast. Like, just it's really hard to not kind of, you know, when you've been watching from the point at which it's just like the ripples, you can tell something really big is under the surface and like slowly breaking and it becomes obvious. And, you know, at this point, it's just like, I kind of want to revert back to where they were 10 years ago and just be like, nah, it's just kids on college campuses. Like,
yeah.
Like Congress passes a trans bill of rights, makes misgendering, you know, a death penalty offense. And it's just, nah, it's just kids on college campuses. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. You know, I learned of a new one, man. I think it was yesterday, trans-able. You know, and I posted it on my IG. So it's people who identify as disabled people, and these people are perfectly healthy, but they go around in wheelchairs and walkers and everything. So it's this lady. She's a scientist at Cambridge, and she does this, right? And you see video of her skiing and running, then you see video of her in a wheelchair being pushed, and you know, and they go on to say this is a some type of neurological disorder, some type of mental disorder. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Like, man, it's out of control, man. Like, goodness gracious, come on.
Well, and that's, like, on one hand, it's, I mean, I gotta call bullshit, because if she's up, like, skiing and running 1 minute, and then for riding around in a wheelchair the next minute, that just seems like really poor taste. Like, I mean, I try not to rely on just, like, you know, oh, the impropriety, I say. But, I mean, what else can you say to that? Like, it's straight up monocle-dropping shit right there. But the problem is, it's like, on one hand, what's to say you can't do that? Like, the reasoning for transgenderism being, oh, let's treat the body to match the delusion, rather than treating the delusion to be more in line with reality. There's kind of no reason to not, you know, no argument to not do it. And, oh, man, I don't know. Then again, it's the whole ideology is so internally inconsistent that, on the other hand, it's like trans ideology is a melding of science and religion, where they'll take these sort of kind of clinical psychology concepts of gender and stuff, which really are unfalsifiable. Like, you can't prove a gender. When this is one that I've come to from arguing with strangers on the internet a lot, is when they say, like, you know, my gender is incongruent with my sex at birth, you can just be like, prove it. Show me. How can you prove to me that your gender is not a flying monster made of spaghetti? Like, it's imaginary. It can be anything. And then sometimes they lean into that. They're like, yeah, it's imaginary. It's a social construct. And if you agree, they're like, wait, no, I've just shot myself in the foot. And, you know,
exactly. They're not ready for that, right?
Yep.
But isn't that the thing, though, man? Like you said, you know, people can do what they want, be who they want. But the issue that I have, and I know lots of people do, is when you disagree, or when you don't support, you know, then it's just like, oh, you're racist, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that, you're the scum of the earth. That's just like the worst, man. You know, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to align with you. I mean, come on, I'm gonna do me, you do you, man. I won't bother you, you don't bother me. Come on, let's just be chill.
And so much of it, or it almost just seems like across the board, it's just an, like, they contradict themselves with every other clause in their speech. Like, it's an entire inversion of reality where they'll say, gender's a social construct, we totally made it up, you know, blah, blah, it's totally imaginary, but don't force your, you know, beliefs on me. Like, respect my gender identity, but don't force your fairy tale beliefs on me, religious person. It's just, oh man. It's such an endless tide of bullshit that, like, you know, that old saying that a lie can make it around the world before the truth has its shoes on, and it's just, they're like firing off lies every other second.
Mm-hmm. So who's pulling the strings here, man? You know, obviously it's been an effort for someone to push this right over the last X number of years. Like, why and who?
You know, I gotta think it's eugenics. And who is, I don't think you can localize it really to any one Western country or any one specific part of the Anglosphere. But I do think it basically, like, tracks along the, you know, where NATO is, where American influence is heaviest. You're gonna see it. And I only say American influence because they're like, you know, it's American muscle doing all of it. But it's almost like America, and you're seeing it more and more with America kind of waning geopolitically, that America's really more like a province of the Rainbow Empire or whatever you call it than like the big dog that has all these lackeys following it around. As for... just to elaborate on the eugenics aspect a little bit more is, it's really messed up because of the manufacturing consent aspect. Like, the way that I view it is, well, I mean, groomer is a perfect word for it, because if you expose impressionable kids to this kind of, you know, gender theology content and ban anyone that would, you know, disabuse them of these ideas, would expose them to true content, there's a good chance that they're going to believe it. And it's kind of the same deal with, you know, like, sexuality. You can't just take a kid and Woody Allen them until they're old enough to marry, you know? It's
damn.
I don't know. And I guess what I'm saying is that it's like eugenics is, everyone kind of practices eugenics just by mate selection. Like, when, you know, when you're attracted to this person, you're selecting for those. It's, you know, it's really natural selection. And I think, like, that's the only way really that it can work. You know, the same way that, like, grooming a minor for sex breaks that, you know, because you're no longer competing on a level playing field. It's like this weird pseudo-parental relationship that's severely fucked up. That's kind of the way I feel about the social engineering for the trans stuff. It's like, if somebody wants to choose that and kind of just pull themselves out of the, you know, the circle of life, I'm not sure, the gene pool, that's what I mean. If somebody just wants to remove themselves from the gene pool, and there's like a lot of child-free kind of people who celebrate getting sterilized, and, you know, cool, I guess. But it's the tricking them into it part, or the, you know, that kind of what Abigail Schreier with her irreversible damage, that kind of the kids tricked into this sort of stuff without the knowledge of what they're getting into. It's severely fucked up. And like, that's what I'm saying is it's the force. It's when it's imposed top down. that's what makes it wrong. When it's just like me and a girl that I'm attracted to or not, it's like, you could arguably call it eugenics, but I don't see who's being harmed by it. It's just really natural selection at that point.
Right. But like you said, it's the force top down. That's when things get screwy.
Yeah. Tie what I was saying there into, you know, the wokes are looking for these genuine bonds of affection, but they're trying to impose them top down. And it's kind of that exact same problem of, you can't social engineer your way to, well, probably anything good, you know, like it, no matter how, even if the people doing it weren't evil, which I'm definitely not convinced of, it seems like any attempt is always going to result in something that will make a mockery, you know, like the road to hell is paved with good intentions kind of thing.
Okay.
That's just the saddest to me, because it's like, you know, I mean, it's a tired observation that, like, the male form is like a Jeep, and the female form is like a freaking work of art. Like, it's not even in the same ballpark in terms of, like, sort of metaphysical appreciation, you know, like a freaking cat, stop messing with me. Yeah. And so when you see, like, one of those detransitioners showing, like, you know, I'm a 22-year-old girl, and it looks like fucking George Costanza from Seinfeld, and yeah. It's like, why would you do that? You know, it's really disheartening. Like, well, and what's most disheartening is I want to feel bad for the person, but I'm pretty damn sure they were probably very heavily, very vocal against people like me saying it's a bad idea. Like, pushing it on other people, too.
Yeah, man. And then you have these parents now that leave the birth certificates blank when the kids are born, right? And they don't put in the gender until the kid's about 3, when they're able to make their own decision of who and what they want to be. Like, if that isn't child abuse, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Well, it's always some kind of form of, like, weaselly dishonesty with these people. It's like, you know, omission of relevant information is a form of dishonesty. And it's like doing that to your kid right out of the gate. Just, I don't see the utility in it. And maybe that's the most, like, perverse aspect of it, is they pretend to such utilitarianism. They're like, you know, I have my priorities straight, so I argue with strangers on the internet a lot. And the one that I keep coming back to is, they'll make this scientific materialist argument that, like, yeah, trans women are literally women or whatever. And I'm like, then show me the gender identity. I can't see it. And they'll be like, you think like a person is really just all they physically are? And I'm like, no, but I'm not the one making the scientific materialist argument here. Like, I'm not the one who's arguing utilitarianism and then asking for special treatment for just, like, you know, arbitrary reasons. It's so mutually contradictory that it makes me just want to dress up like a clown and honk a horn at them when they talk. Like, it's that. Was it Thomas Paine who said, arguing with someone who has given up the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead? It was one of those.
I like it.
Man, I get heated about this stuff. You can probably tell I'm just like,
yeah, man. It's different, man. You know, I really think, and you've heard me say this before, I circle back to the spiritual warfare, man. I really think it's a lot of people out here with attachments, man. I really do. And I think that plays a huge, huge role in what we're seeing today with all the things that we've been talking about, man. You know, I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I know a lot of people do. And that's what I stand on. And I just say that just through, you know, the experiences I've had, you know, during meditation and, you know, different psychedelic experiences and different things like that, things that I saw and things that were told to me. So I think until people kind of get on board with that, we're going to continue to see a lot more of what we've been seeing with this world going into the direction it's been going over the last several years, especially the last really hard 5 years here. But, you know, it's a reason for everything, and things will play out as they're supposed to.
Yeah, it's weird how much it feels like has been lost in a sense. Like I was probably like 25 or older when I heard that, like, what we now call science used to be called natural philosophy. And, or like the kind of that general, you know, like our rational understanding of the world, like that term that we now use science to mean. We used to use the phrase natural philosophy, and thinking about it, like, makes a lot more sense of, you know, like, if philosophy is like organized thinking, natural philosophy is like organizing the natural world, and you can kind of see how that informs, like, the what's it called, like, the taxonomical, the way, like, you divide up species by, oh, these ones have spines, these ones have no bones, or this one's a tree, kind of stuff. And it's, I don't know, this is the reason I try not to listen to other commentators, because I feel like I might be being influenced by some Michael Knowles talks that I listen to, but it really is, like, just this perversion of symbols. Like, it comes down to a bifurcation of the symbol from what it symbolizes, and so just kind of anything can mean anything, you know, for no reason, I guess, or like whatever we want it to, or, man, it, I guess the way I would phrase it is, it's like these two conflicting worldviews really at its core. One is, these are the rules and we're going to play fair within them, but we're really going to try to win. And the other one is just, reality is whatever you can get away with. And the two are clashing.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what's going on, right? I mean, you know, people literally are in different realities with their mindsets and their beliefs, you know, and I think that's what we see with this clashing. You know, you explained that really, really well, brother.
And also, I mean, maybe this is just totally from my own bias, but it's hard not to view it as like a real moral struggle, like an actual, you know, like metaphysical good versus bad. I have a hard time viewing that like it's real if I can trick you into thinking it's real sort of attitude as not evil. You know what I mean? It's it has no care for the consequences of what it's doing.
So say it again. You said you have a hard time believing it's, did you say real?
No,
say it one more time.
Believing it's not evil, like,
not evil. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of lie for personal advantage, especially, you know, in the short term, I guess actually in long term is even worse. It's just like, it's bad. I don't know. I guess that's the second you start losing a lot of people, because, you know, there's credentialism or ad hominem comes in. It's like, who are you to say what's good or bad at all? How can, and that also kind of ties back into what I was saying at the beginning of how can we even form philosophical underpinnings if we can't agree, you know, even who's allowed to speak what is good or bad?
Damn. So what's the deal? What's going on with this COVID stuff now, man? It's like I'm seeing that things have took a pivot in another direction with that. It's like you don't really hear about it now. I think the government said that employees are no longer required to have the vaccination.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
like last week.
Because the first I heard of this, I was standing in the bank today. And, you know, like, waiting in line, they have this TV that's just kind of playing, like, bank channel news. And it was about that, like, the WHO lifted the global pandemic, you know, status or whatever. And it kind of made a bunch of things sort of click in my head that I had noticed over the few days previously. Like, I had gotten a bunch of emails from Indeed recruiters, like, all these jobs that previously, you know, required vaccinations are emailing me like, hey, we'd love to receive your application.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you would.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it just makes me worried what the next shoe to drop is, like,
That's my thing too, man. Same thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel. It's like, I'm definitely not feeling excited or happy about any type of restrictions or anything they're doing, man. It's like, only know it's a matter of time before they hit us with something else, right?
And it might just even be the same thing again. Like, that's the fucked up part. They could just be like, oh, COVID's back. Everybody go back inside. And a whole bunch of people will be just down with it.
Yep. Back inside, 6 booster shots, mask.
I worry it's gonna be war next, though. Like a real.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. And that in it, that's crazy what's going on, man. With China and Russia and everybody kinda aligning with except the United States. All the powerhouses, right?
Well, and I think the missing piece that is left out of a lot of the discussion on that is India is a huge player that is kind of only nominally aligned with the West. There's like a major kind of Hindu MAGA constituency there that is...
wait, Hindu MAGA?
Well, they're... They're called,
oh, I love it.
They're called Hindutva, like Hindu, TVA, and it's basically like a kind of, they're supporters of Narendra Modi, who I think was president or prime minister. I'm not really sure how their democracy works there, but yeah, they're basically Make India Great Again, and they're like, some of them are extremely militant. Some of them are like, make Pakistan India again. We're going hard. Like, it's...
Oh, man.
And something I lurk a lot of Facebook groups of, you know, like, if it's about a 50-50 split of, like, I can't think of the name of the script they use, Devanagari, and, like, Latin English posting, I want to get in there because I feel like that's where, you know, finger on the pulse, and... They're just crazy down with the Russians. Like, I'm not sure what it is, but Russians will go to India to be like, hey, yeah, Hindu culture, and, like, it's, Hindus will go to check out, like, Russian pagan stuff, and they sort of identify with each other. It's, really? Yeah. And so, I would not be surprised. Everyone's like, oh, is war gonna pop off with Taiwan and China, or with North Korea and South Korea, or like Ukraine and, you know, Russia and the rest of Europe, or like all at once just to tie us up? And it's like, nah, man, I could see it being something really unexpected, like Pakistan versus Iran or India versus Pakistan, like the nuclear armed countries that you forget about kind of going toe to toe with each other and setting everything off.
That's interesting.
Because
one of those countries, they go to war, and that, you said, it sets everything off. And then China and Russia, they're aligned, right?
It's looking a lot more that way. And I don't know. So I guess things aren't that much more complicated than they were during the Cold War, where you kind of have like the Western allies with a few like sort of not totally aligned, but pretty close. Like Sweden is the perfect example. Like, you know, they're in the like NATO bloc, but they still send humanitarian aid to the Viet Cong. That sort of thing. Then, you know, you kind of have the, I don't want to lump like BRICS, you know, that like Brazil, rush of, in, or, you know, I don't want to say it's all the same thing because I kind of don't think South Africa is as much, or I guess I don't think the West is going to let South Africa go that easy. Mm. And Brazil, same deal. Like, it's sort of Monroe Doctrine. Brazil's in the Western Hemisphere. I don't think, you know, they'll tolerate like a Bolsonaro kind of Trumpian figure, but they're not going to tolerate any real geopolitical shift towards China in Brazil.
Well, something's definitely coming. Either war or AI is just going to take over humanity in the next 2 years, right?
Well, that's the real scary thing, I think, is because it's like we've gone through a whole generation of warfare just in, like, you know, one human lifetime, pretty much, with the end of World War II. Nuclear weapons make it so conventional war is obsolete, where we can't have just big waves of tanks rolling across Eurasia blowing each other up anymore, because if we do, it's going to escalate to the entire Earth being destroyed, since we have that capacity now. And so everything kind of simmered down to just these little brushfire conflicts, or like America playing world police for all this time, until now. Not only is it America's hegemony is weakening, but also like weapons and targeting and intelligence is getting so crazy that war can be waged on this like invisible scale in the streets without you ever seeing it, where, you know, it's almost entirely based on perception and indoctrination. Really, it's almost all propaganda and useful idiots.
Useful idiots. You have such a way with words, my friend.
Yeah, man. It's just scary, though, how, you know, it's like almost like watching people be mind controlled.
Yeah, we've been watching that for a while, right?
Makes you wonder if it's always been that way.
I think so, man. I think it's been happening for thousands of years.
Yeah.
I know you're at least a bit of a history buff. I know you get into history a lot. What are your thoughts on it? From what you've researched and seen, that mind control thing, has it gone back? Obviously hundreds of years, but did we see this type of influence or control in previous past civilizations?
I think it was always basically just organized crime. Like, it, what we're seeing now is, it's like the same motivations and the same moral bankruptcy of the perpetrators. It's just with, like, the way that Silk Road removes the violence from the drug trade kind of thing. You can just, you know, bingo, bango, money changes hands for drugs and nobody has to get shot. It's like, that's sort of what the expansion of media technology has done for organized crime networks like governments. I guess I keep coming back to, like, right after, in Aburbe Condita, the really, like, masterwork on Rome from its founding by ancient Romans, the, like, one of the first things after they gain independence is they go to war with a neighboring town over some, like, cattle raids. They, like, groups of young men would go steal cattle from the other town. And it was, you know, they had so many that couldn't really hold a trial for it. They were getting ready to go to war with each other. And they meet on the field, and in the negotiations, it's like, it seems the assurance of liberty is not enough for us, and we are about to gamble for empire or ignominy. That we will either basically dominate, just continue this crime, stealing cattle, and just until it reaches empire, or just die nameless and just be forgotten. And it feels like, you know, it's, everybody wants peace, but a lot of people want a bigger peace. And it always goes that way. Like, it, I feel like even if that hadn't happened there, you know, it's not like you can stop that from happening, where It's kind of like the Columbus thing. Everyone's like, oh, Columbus was a shithead for discovering America. It's like, well, if he didn't, America would still be there, and Europeans would still have boats. Like, I wish shit went down differently, but it seems like it would basically still happen that way.
I feel you.
And I don't know. I guess back in the day, it was a much more simple calculus of like, look, I have all the food, me and my retainers, like, I'm the king, these are my nobles, and you do what we say or you're not getting the food, you're not getting the protection, you're not getting this, that, and the other. And a lot of people are like, just judgment call, die in the woods or that. And people go to that. And you just run that tape long enough, and now it's basically the same thing, only they're telling you through the internet, pretty much, like, do what I say or you're not having the food. Like, you don't even see the cops unless, you know, somebody notices you're looking suspicious and calls them on you. It's a very, well, and maybe that contributes to the leftoid divorce of the symbol from what it symbolizes. It's like everything is so arbitrary seeming in this society that just, the work you do does not directly correspond to the thing that you receive for doing the work. The punishment you get does not seem to correspond to the seriousness of your behavior, or even if there's a victim of the crime kind of thing. And maybe no wonder it gives rise to this, like, in a weird way to try to make it make sense, they land on nonsense as an ideology.
Seems to fit, huh?
Right.
Hey, man, I want to talk about AI a little more, man. Have you tried that app out? What is it called? CHP, CP, what is it?
Oh, ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one. Or I think Snapchat just introduced a bot, too.
Really?
Yeah, like it's called, like, my friend or something. It's just a very simple kind of thing like that. I used to enjoy messing with those when they were a lot simpler, you know, like 5 or 10 years ago. Nowadays, I don't know, man. I haven't messed with them at all. It just feels like a Pandora's box or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I guess what I'm seeing is with AI generated art, it's already getting to the point where you can clearly tell the AI generated style, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe not just 100%, but there's kind of a definite look to AI generated art. And I think after a certain point, or I guess, I don't know, technology may advance to where the distinction is no longer possible, but there will be, you know, the human creativity side will have its premium recognized. And I think the kind of person who relies on AI-generated art to, like, make stuff that they can trace or change around or, you know, as a prompt, I worry of it doing something similar to that with my writing, where... It like I was saying about Michael Knowles, why I try to avoid watching people like that is because I know I already agree with them, and I don't want my, you know, I don't want my thought process to be contaminated so that hopefully I can come up with, you know, a different angle of attack or something.
Right.
And the only thing worse than relying on a person that I already agree with is an algorithm that, in, you know, every other time I've seen these algorithms used, it's like they're designed to make you disgusted with your own reflection. And I don't see it working out well.
Yeah, man, I haven't touched those apps either, man. I don't know. I can't get into them. Maybe it's the point in time will come where I'm forced to, you know, to have to keep up. You know, that's like a 90-year-old saying, you know, 80-year-old saying, hey, no, I don't want to mess with the internet or something. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just out of their wheelhouse for what they know they grew up in. But I guess you got to change with the times too. But and it's definitely a lot of AI influence out there, and a lot more to come, right? A lot more to come. Stay tuned.
Well, and it makes me worry, like, you know, fast forward 20 years, say my son is just like, yeah, Dad, I'm getting the brain chip and, you know, having these legs replaced with robot legs, man, that can, you know, jump 20 feet in the air.
Exactly.
Exactly. What am I going to say? Am I going to be like, nah, don't do it? Because when I was his age, I jumped head first into, you know, like, even now that Oculus Rift kind of, you know, VR headset, right. It makes me seasick, so I can't use it. But even that is like, nah, don't use it. But me as a kid, if some boomer told me not to use it, hell yeah, I still would. Like,
yeah, man, that Oculus. I guess, you know, I was reading somewhere, I don't know, maybe a year, year and a half ago, where, you know, it's going to get to the point where you go into this virtual reality world, maybe with something like that Oculus, right? And you're in there and you can, you know, be whoever you want to be in there. You know, you go in there, man, to this reality where you're a movie star, a celebrity, entertainer, this rich president, whoever, you know, and they're allegedly going to obviously charge a lot of money for this. You know, it makes me think of people like with gambling debts, right? Where people will get addicted to this reality or this fake reality, but to them it's real. It's like their life and they want to do that. They spend all their money and time living this life in this reality. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like if that is really going to be a possibility in 15 years, 20 years? It's like they will never ever they will be depressed in this current reality. I guess a lot of people are already depressed, so maybe that's their drug of choice. I don't know, man. Oh my goodness.
And it's, yeah. Well, and the thing is, everything that they offer is fake. You know, it's always imitation, the thing. It's never the thing itself.
Yeah, it does the truth.
Man. There's a point in here.
Yeah, man. I mean, just, I can't even imagine what that would be like where people are so dependent upon this fake, but their internally real reality where they just need it. Like it being their drug, you know?
Well, okay, that's a good point. I mean, on one hand, it's like, I'm thinking, you're right, they're going to be so depressed in this reality. So once they're living full time in there, what is it? Just selling their blood and like biometric data or whatever, identity kind of data, serving as just like a debt cow, electric, like it really would be the Matrix.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, like the gambling, I think, is a perfect analogy. That's where I was trying to land on when I was thinking a second ago, is since it's fake and you're relying on the like dopamine basically to make it real when you get all the, you know, in the headset, all the things that simulate what would give you the dopamine hit. It's like gambling. And I guess what I mean when I say that is gambling just seems like the dumbest vice. Like when it's like, if you go to the slot machine, you put $20 in, there's like a pretty slim chance you're going to get a win. You know, imagine if alcohol worked that way. Like here, I'm paying $20 for this like 24 pack and I'm expecting like a 0.5% chance I'll get a buzz. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, why not go for the sure thing, you know?
Right, I hear you.
And I don't know, it almost feels like it feels like that accompanies all of it, like the abortion, transgender, vaccines even. That was one thing that I kept running into during the, you know, COVID charade is, they were like, well, aren't you scared of getting COVID? And I was like, bring it on. I am not scared of I will die when it's my time to die.
I remember you standing on that, man. I remember that. I remember you saying that, definitely.
And it's the same with like, oh, I don't want to become a mother yet. Oh, I want to become the opposite sex. Or, oh, I want this placebo, at best placebo, that will make me feel safe about getting sick. And it's just, it can never come close to the real thing. Like, you kind of just gotta... Well, maybe this is tangential, but it feels related in my mind. It's like, whenever I'm complaining about how shitty stuff is, I gotta think of God looking down and being like, I make all this for you. And this is how you respond. Like, look at all of this. And you're focusing on the negative.
I hear you, man. I hear you. You know, when you get in those moods and those mindsets where you're just like, damn, now this, now that, and you know, I hear you, man, but that does it for me. You know, I breathe and I take the moment to say, hey, this is my experience and that's all right. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's okay. You know, I don't have to feel a negative about it, or, you know, get in a low vibrational state. I can just say, hey, thank God for the experience, right? Because it's a lesson in everything, man. You know, and that's kind of what helps keep me balanced, man. In fact, I do a lot of balancing these days in this crazy, chaotic world, man. All this chaos and confusion and all these fear tactics that the powers that be and others are always projecting upon the earth, man. So I don't even really look at the news much anymore, man. You know, I mean, for what? You know, if it's something I need to know, somebody would tell me, you know, like a family member or a friend or something, you know, and all this other stuff, man. I just try to block it out, man, and just try to stay positive, you know, doing this show and other efforts I got going on. So, but, you know, we live our life, man. We have our experiences and we push through, right?
Yeah, at this point, cryptic symbolism in my dreams, that's the only place I get my news from.
There you go. I like that. You've been doing, have you been meditating, man? Are you kind of get away from it? Or you've been doing it or what?
I've kind of just like completely fallen off on spiritual practice. And it's, I don't know, I hate to say rat race, but like there's something about, well, and you said low vibration. It's I always visualize it as like getting caught up in a spider web where you're letting these things slow you down and, you know, you're making excuses about, you know, why your priorities aren't the priorities that you want to have. And then you're getting down on yourself because you're not making the progress that you want to make. And it's not like you can be two places at once anyway, but you know, that kind of shit. And, I don't know, man, my kids keep like saying and seeing really spooky stuff around here. Like I heard a weird noise the other day. I turn around and Fern, my stepdaughter, is like, why'd the toilet paper roll up by itself? Uh-oh. She didn't seem scared at all. It was like a serious question. And I was just like, we're lighting some incense. We're opening up the there shrine. Go. Gonna light some incense.
There you go.
But like, that's it kind of takes something like that, you know, to prompt me. Okay. I've just been working too much.
I hear you, brother. None to it, man. Well, this has been solid, brother. You know how we do at the end of each and every show, man. I want you to, if you would please take a moment and tell listeners something that you need, that you think they need to hear in this moment. You know, the good old token of love, something they need to hear as they continue their journeys.
I'd say that old ancient Egyptian hymn that I brought up when we were in the beginnings of discussions about what we were going to talk about in this episode. And I wish I could cite something for it. Cause it's one of those things that, you know, you remember it from a long time ago and it's stuck with you and you want to say, here's where you can go find it for yourself. But the best approximation I can give it is, blessed be the Lord of all things, who causeth the difference between men and maketh variety in the world. I think just hold tight to that. Don't. Maybe do not insist upon what you know is right obstinately, but also don't let other people cross your red lines. And you can't really go wrong.
Solid, solid as they come, brother. Thank you so much, man. And tell them where they can find you, man. Give them your info, social media, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube at SegoVax656, but I don't think I'm going to be for much longer. Going to be moving everything over to Twitter now. So on Twitter at SegoVax7, and the handle is FutureGhost at the moment.
Sweet. Check them out, good people. Seb is back. Seb, thank you so much, brother, for being here. It's always good to chat it up with you, man. And to our audience, really hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. As always, if you need to speak with us, shoot us an email at support@thehiddengateway.com. You know, we have the website as well, www.thehiddengateway.com. And as always, thank you for pushing your mindset towards a better reality. Now, this will conclude this week's episode. Until next time, stay positive, stay questioning, be love, and be free. The Hidden Gateway, out.